Thank you so much, Pastor. I'm really glad to be here. You are a good pastor. Pastor. Yes, I believe the church, they true that. Trust me, he is a good pastor, a good man of the Lord. So thank you so much for your very warm hospitality. Thank you so much, Pastor, for your hospitality, for letting us to be with you and your home. And also is glad to be your pastor, how God is guiding him here in the works of the Lord, and also his children and the house. Thank you so much, Mrs. De Leon. It was very delicious, the meal this afternoon. I really enjoy. But I miss improving food as well, so. But thank you. So let me share with you before we open the Word of God some things, numbers that I was looking for in the internet. You know, we are just with a click, you can find many information in the internet right now. So just check it up, your phone or whatever you have in your hands and your laptop, whatever, you can find some information. So some information that I was looking for about how many people in the world die for hour, for minute, per day, for hour, and per year. Let me share that numbers first. For example, per minute is dying 253 people, okay, per minute. And per hour is dying in 6,322 people. Per day is dying 213,120 people. And per year is dying 372 million people. So the number is very, very interesting. So why I'm sharing with you these numbers is because the big question is, how many people, with that number of people dying per year or per hour or per minute or per day, whatever it is, are dying with Christ, knowing Christ? Surely the majority are dying without Christ. It's very surely. So there is, just to see, checking in the internet, you can see the needs. But not only the needs and that information, but you can see the needs around us. So tonight, please open your Bible. I want to share with you a couple principles, very practicals, very easily principles that will help us to be focused in God's heart. It's really exciting for me reading in the wall back there that missions is the heart of Open Door Baptist Church. And this is very, very good because missions, it's God's heart. And it's the reason that God sent his begotten son as the first missionary coming to the earth and gave us hope when we doesn't have hope before he came. So let open your Bibles in the book of Acts chapter 1. I want to start with this passage. We'll check in this evening two passages. First, in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Probably you memorize this verse. Book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8. You know that the chapter, you know that the verse, you know the context in that chapter, specifically chapter 1. And the other book that we will check this evening is the book of Matthew chapter 9. From the verses 35 to 38. So let's pray first before we read the Bible, before we start. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the great opportunity that you give us this evening. Father, I do pray that you open our eyes and our minds and our hearts to your word. Father, help us with the power of your Holy Spirit to be not only a good hearing, but help us to be obedience to your word. We recognize, Father, the needs around the world, around us, whatever we are, Father. We see the needs about people, needing to know you. And Father, through this passage from your word, your holy word, help us to see, help us to take the tools that we do have ready, and help us to have the heart that God had. And help me, Father, I pray that you help me, give me the freedom that I need, and help us to be a blessing for my brothers and sisters. And I pray in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's read the verse 8, the chapter 1, the book of Acts. The Bible said, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So from this verse, I want to share with you three very practical principles for you that help me, myself, to see God's heart. The first, we find the first line. The Bible says, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." When he's talking about, the Bible is talking about the Holy Ghost, we know it's talking about the Holy Spirit. So the first principle is that when we talk about missions, brothers and sisters, we need to be clear that missions begin with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Without the power of the Holy Spirit, whatever we do for God, it's just empty. Whatever we do, it doesn't matter if you sing, you pass a track, you preach, you teach, you clean, whatever we do. Without the submission of the Holy Spirit, without the power of the Holy Spirit, everything is empty. One of the things that I really thankful God is that God gave me my wife. And she is a person who's really helped me. And more when you are in a foreign country. When you are learning the culture, you're learning the language. And sometimes I can catch all the 100% when people is talking to me. I catch the 75%, but this is good because when I just came to stay, I didn't catch just 20%. But God was using her for help me to translate the majority of my sermons. What this mean is, sometimes I can depend on this note as easily. I met a very good man in my seminary who they really make very quickly sermons. She just took 5 minutes, 10 minutes to do a sermon. Oof, very talent, right? But I can do the same thing. But without the power of the Holy Spirit, it's just empty. And this is one of the things that we need to put as a base, because the church is moving with this power, the power of the Holy Spirit. When you read the Bible specifically in the book of Acts, when is the New Testament churches began, you can see the progression in the disciples' work. You can see in the chapter 2, many people become a Christian, baptizing. Chapter 2 from verse 21 and 22 show us the fulfillment of the promise, of this promise of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 5, verses 12 to 15, we see the result of the promises coming of the Holy Spirit. And when you see the ministry of the disciples, you can see the very powerful ministry. And the key for this powerful ministry, it wasn't in themselves. It was in the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is the same thing that we need to be clear. Brothers and sisters, and this including me, whatever we do, even in missions, even in the service of the Lord here in your local church, we need to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. Imagine that you have 10 acres of land in which you want to plant wheat. Before you can do that, you need to prepare, obviously, the ground, right? I think many of you know about farmer. I don't know if the majority. But imagine that you have in your barn a plow for just such an occasion. I know in this time people doesn't use the plow, they use a machine. But it just is an illustration. Imagine that you have in your barn a plow for just such occasion, but that plow weighs 2 tons. Let me ask you, can you complete the job using that plow? It's something ridiculous. You can. Of course not. What I mean is whatever you try to do with that plow will only result in frustration, discouragement, and ultimately tiredness. What I try to say to you is whatever we do without the power of the Holy Spirit is like this illustration. Will result in frustration. And sometimes we find Christians very frustrated. Christians living in discouragement. You know why? Because they are using a wrong power. And sometimes we are depending on our own power, in our own ability. But the Bibles want to remind us to use the power of the Holy Spirit. So this is the first principle in this evening. Depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's read the second line. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. The second principle this evening that I want to really share with you and I want to encourage you is that our position in Christ, what it is. You and me, we are not a simple believers. So you are a witness. You and me are a witness. And let me share with you this. This word, the word witnesses, what you find in your Bible, the word witnesses is a very interesting word. Because this word in the original Greek is the word martyres, which comes from your word in English, a martyr. So let's read in that form. When Jesus is telling the disciples, and ye shall be a martyr unto me. Jesus is telling the disciples that phrase, you will be a martyr for me. They didn't realize in that time when they hearing from Jesus that word, that they will be die for Christ, that they will be die for his faith in Christ. They never realized. But how do we know now that they are die as a martyr? When we read the history, when we read the Bible, the Word of God, we can see how the disciples die for his faith, right? And they really die as a martyr. But here become a question. How we are living right now? How do you live right now? Are you consider yourself, your life, living as a martyr? This is a question between you and God. We are living, brothers and sisters, in a time where people just living and relaxing. And relaxing, in comfort. So this is the second, to remind this week. First, When we talk about missions, we need to be clear that missions begin with the power of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, your position in Christ, my position in Christ, is not a simple believer. We are a witnesses. As a witnesses, we need to share the gospel. Let's turn the Bible a couple pages, chapter 4. If you're not understanding what is a witnesses mean, let's read chapter 4, the book of Acts, from the verses 19 and verses 20. The context in this chapter 4 is that the apostle Peter and John, he was fined for the government in the town where they was sharing the gospel. But the authorities in that town, when they fined specifically Peter and John sharing the gospel, they turned to them and say, "Hey, don't do that. Don't share the gospel to anybody here in this town. If you do that, you will find difficulties. You will find troubles. Okay, don't do that." I don't know how many of us we find in this kind of situation. When somebody tells us, "Hey, don't talk about Jesus. Don't mention that name." I don't know if you find this situation. But when we read the verse 19 and 20, we can find a powerful and tremendous answer. Let's read verse 19. The Bible said, "But Peter and John answered and say unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye." Verse 20. "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Isn't that a tremendous answer? Even when these authorities are telling the Peter and John, "Hey, don't say anybody about Jesus," they say, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." And this is the same thing that we need to do. "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." And probably you're thinking about, "Hey, this is in the disciples' case." But it's not my case. I never see Jesus literally. But this is a wrong answer. Because if you tell me that you are a believer, it's because you did see Jesus. I don't know. What do you mean? If you're a believer, if you're born again, it's because you see Jesus through his word. And he spoke us. But if you never experienced that in your own life, it's probably because you're not already having a personal relation with Jesus. Every believer, every Christian who born again, it's because he did see Jesus. But not only when you read the Bible, also when you see the next person beside you, if he is a believer, you can see how the Holy Spirit is changing his life. I can share with you many people in my life, in my short life, how God's changed his lives. When those people, before they know Jesus, oh, they was walking in the wrong way. But now, when they start a personal relation with Jesus, oh, brothers, and this let me know that he did see Jesus. Is Jesus real? If I see this, I can give this answer. "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." And this is what a witnesses mean. Something that you heard, something that you see. You need share that. Share what Jesus done for you today with someone around you that you know he's not a believer. So this is the second principle. First of all, to remind for this week, when we talk about missions, we need to be clear that missions begin with the power of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, your position in Christ is a witnesses. As a witnesses, we need to share the gospel. Okay? Share the gospel. It's not an option, it's a commandment. And thirdly, the Bible in the last part, the verse 8, chapter 1, the book of Acts, the Bible is in this verse finished, unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Praise the Lord that you as a church, you are working in that commission. But that is only a general work for the church. This need to be an individual work. Because it's not a commandment for the, in general, talking about the church, is a commandment for everyone, for each one, each of us. And there is the places where God is leading you. Start where you are, in your Jerusalem. I'm really glad that God is calling me to return, because I left my town, my city in Peru, after my dad passed away when I was 12. But then the Lord was working in my heart, show me through the Word of God, show me through the needs that He was calling me to return to my hometown. And there is the places. Maybe God is working in your heart. Not to be a witness, because this is your position in Christ. Even you, if you want or you don't want, you are a witness. If you are a believer. So there is the places. Maybe God is calling you to go to another country. Don't close God's voice. Don't close your ears to God's word, to God's voice. Or maybe God wants to use in another state. Or God is talking to you that you need to be a witness here. It's really interesting. I was talking with pastor's wife last night, and I asked, how did the church start? And it started with a man who God was working in his heart to share the gospel to his mom. And then his mom was sharing the gospel to his neighbors. And this is how the church began. How the church began. But we need to have that kind of hearts. Those hearts who was really ready to obey God's will. So there is the places. So now let's turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter 9, we'll read it from the verses 35 to 38. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. The Bible said, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then say he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. When Jesus was talking in this chapter, you can read in your house by your own. Verses before our verses that we read this evening, you can find Jesus, he was making many miracles. A lot of people, he was receiving healings, recovering from Jesus. Okay, you can see this young girl who received the life. She died, and then she received again the life. And then you can see a woman who didn't have that problem with the blood for many years. And she received a healing from Jesus. And the Bible, in the verses that we read it, the Bible said that Jesus was healing every sickness and every disease among the people. See that need? Let me ask this question. This need for healing is different between that time and our times? No. We are asking for healing, right? We have family who are praying for many, many years for healing, right? So that situation is not different. It's the same from this time to our time. So it's the same. But Jesus, when he's talking to the disciples, he's telling this, hey, it's truly that this is one of the needs that the men are asking to God. But this is not the most important need for the man. And then Jesus is turning not to be focused on earthly things, which is not in this way is not wrong, because we need to pray for the people who are praying for healing, even us. But now Jesus is turning, and he is turning to be focused in the most important need for the man. And this is according to the next verse. When Jesus he saw the multitude, the Bible says he's not moving because he's looking for a poor man. He's not feeling sad or feeling that compassion because they don't have family. No, the Bible said because they find it and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Like a people who doesn't have goal in his life, who doesn't have hope. But this is really something interesting that I find here. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. And brothers and sisters, let me say this very carefully. In love. This word that the Bible said, compassion, this is something that is missing in churches right now. Compassion for the lost. Compassion for our family that we know are lost. Compassion. Probably you can use this word very easily. It's just a word, but it's not a word. It's much more than the word. It's an attitude from your heart. Compassion. And brothers and sisters, this is to remind for myself, when I see people that I know they're not a believer, what I'm looking for, what I'm seeing in those people, just someone who is passing through, or someone who need to hear the gospel. But brothers and sisters, I really see that even in my sometimes in my heart. And not only because the man, the family who came at the church, who has the title, they are missionaries or something like that. Because the title doesn't make me that I am a missionary. Because you as well are a missionary. Did you believe that? Yes, this is true. I'm not saying that. This is what the Bible teaches. Every believer are a missionary. Every believer who knows Jesus need to be a witness. This is what a missionary does. Be a witness. So, but this is something. So tonight, I want to challenge you in that way. Listen. Then, let's read in the verse 37. Then say he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Let me ask this question. More than 2,000 years ago, Jesus is telling that need to the disciples. The harvest truly is plenteous. Let's see. Did you find difference between that time and our time about that need specifically? No. I hear a pastor last week, and we went to a bath here in New York, and he was sharing with us that he knows that 8 churches that he knows and they are missing, they don't have a pastor. 8 churches, they don't have a pastor. So Jesus is, when he is talking to the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So it's the same need that we recognize in our time. So it's not different. But there is the what we need to do. Okay, this is the need, but this is the our work. Our job. This is something that you need to do to accomplish this need. Okay? Verse 38. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send for laborers into his harvest. How many times in your life, or when was the last time when you prayed for more laborers? Don't give me an answer. This is between God and you. But I hope you are doing that. Praying for more laborers, okay? But here is the challenge for you and me. If you are praying in that way, let me share with you that there exists maybe another way that we need to pray. And sometimes we are just passing this way. How many of us, we do have a child? Please, I want to see your hands. Okay, the majority. I'm really thankful, God. I'm really excited to see those little ones singing in the choir, and the kids' choirs, serving to the Lord. And I'm really thankful. But there is the challenge. Many of us, we do have child. But when was the last time when you say, Lord, here I am, praying first for the salvation of my boys or my girls, whatever you have. But also, I want to pray, God, that you use my kids. According to the Bible, for your harvest. Brothers and sisters, if you are doing this, praise the Lord. If not, I want to challenge you. I do have 2 little ones. I don't really know what's going to happen in the future with these 2 little ones. But now, as a father, I want to pray, I want to teach, I want to do whatever is in my hands to help those little ones that one day they will say, Lord, here I am. Brothers, the Bible tells very clearly, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And we are living in a time, let me share this, talking about with my brothers in Peru, some of those brothers in Peru, I say, because I was working as a Sunday school teacher and I met the majority of the childs in the church, and I asked the parents, hey brother, how do you imagine to see your kid in the future? How do you want to see? How do you imagine? And the majority of the answer is, oh, I want to see my boys as doctors, as lawyers, as engineers, as the architects, or whatever career. Hey, please, don't misinterpretation. I'm not saying those careers are wrong. They are very good. I know many people, many believers who use his career for serve the Lord. But when you see God's heart, When you see God's heart, because when we talk about mission, we are talking about not the heart of the pastor, of the missionary, of someone else. We are talking about God's heart. And when you see God's heart, we are seeing that the most important things is not earthly things. It's eternal things. And brothers and sisters, I don't know how do you imagine to see your boys, your girls. But I want to encourage you to think about missions, not in the end of the line, in the end of the options that your kids, put in the first place. Put it in the first place. You know why? Because the rewards, the one man or girl who has one career, the reward is just for this, sometimes it's just for this earth. When they pass away, the career is gone, right? But when you work for eternal things, the reward is not only in the eternity, the reward is also here. Is also here. Brothers and sisters, Baptist Main Mission, they every year they have an annual conference. Every year on July. And they are praying, they are working very hard to do that annual conference. And this annual conference, Baptist Mid-Mission are praying to receive a new missionaries join Baptist Mid-Mission to go to another country, being a missionaries, okay? But last year, in 2017, after they've been preparing for a year, they only receive one missionary family. One missionary's family. It doesn't mean something to us? Yes. Yes. And this is not only happening in Baptist Mission. The same thing is happening if you check in another mission board, you will find the same thing. Need. The laborers are few. I checked in just in AVWE, in Macedonia, and others. And Baptist Mission is almost turning 100 years old being a mission board. And when you read the back, when you see back the history of Baptist Missions, back in the 50s and the 60s, you can imagine the numbers of missionaries saying, "Here I am. I'm really trust God is calling me to go to that country." 50 missionaries family, 100 missionaries family. But now, in our time, 2018, in that time, 2017, one missionary family. Well, this is something, something has happened. Something we need to do. And there is the answer. We need to pray. But not only pray in general, "Lord, I want to pray for more laborers." No. I want to encourage you more specifically, pray for your kid. If you have grandkids, even pray for those grandkids. Brothers, the need is really tremendous. Reading in the history of the Great Missions Movement, you maybe know that. Where did the start the Great Missions Movement? It wasn't here in the state. It wasn't here in North America. It was in Europe, right? And then God moved that movement to the state. And the United States, many years ago, the United States, it was the first country sending missionaries around the world. But right now, after being a place who, I don't want to use this, but let me use this word, to produce missionary, okay? Now, it's a place that needs missionaries. And brothers coming from Alaska, I mentioned this morning, driving from Alaska to Florida, passing through a small little ones town, small towns, big cities, the need is a lot. I hear some Hispanic pastors mention that the need for Hispanic here is a lot. I didn't see that because the majority of my travels here in the state, it was where the American people live. But probably you know the needs of the Hispanic people here and even from others, people coming from other countries as well. But now, the USA, your country, your land, where God's and His will gave us the privilege to born. But it's not your final land. We're just passing through. Your final land is with the Lord. But before that day came, we need to do that. First of all, depend on this power, the power of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, if you forget that you are a witness, you need to remember this, your position. You are not a simple believer, dear beloved. You are a witness. And as a witness, you have the privilege to share the gospel with others. The places where God is leading you, and then the great need. Pray not only for more laborers in general, but pray for the hearts of your kids. And sometimes it's really difficult. Do you know why? Because I did have the opportunity to hear some couple experience of missionaries suffering a lot in other countries. And sometimes when you hear these difficulties, circumstances that the missionaries passing through, sometimes when we think about that and think about our kids, we say, oh, I don't want to see this. I don't want to see my little ones passing through that difficulties. So I prefer keep my boy here with me together forever and ever. But brothers, the little ones that we have, we're only stewards. We're only stewards. But we can do something. And just pray for his salvation and pray that God's work in his heart. This is the challenge from the Bible. And I hope you can remind and use it in your life and help us to be focused in God's heart. Let's pray.